Please turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 13, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 1. Recently, I found myself reflecting a lot on what the Bible says about authority and how to respond to authority. There's a lot of things going on in our country and in our culture about authority. I was sharing with my wife at work, about something that happened at work. A young lady inside had been recently fired and replaced by another young lady, and her boss called her on the radio. So I was, everybody was privy to everything that was being said, and she was telling her to do something, and they were arguing about it on the radio. And the boss said, "Probably not a good idea to argue with me on the radio." And they said, "You should follow your own advice." And we were just like, you talk to your boss like that? But that is something I'm running across more and more. I hear people say respect is earned, not given. And you may think it means one thing when actually they mean something else by it, because I've seen this in play and I've heard people talk about it. The case in point, there was a teacher at an inner city school was correcting the children for their disrespectful behavior, and they said, "Why should we respect you just because you're a teacher?" This is something that's being taught in our culture in the U.S. that, people in authority don't deserve respect, don't deserve obedience. I was raised in that environment. Question authority and I see it again and again, but the Bible speaks very strongly of authority, and I don't want to get ahead of myself because I'm going to be speaking on it also on Sunday when I bring my messages. Although Sunday school is going to have nothing to do with authority. It's a totally different message, but the main message and the evening message are going to be about authority. But this one, it answers, this question: how do you respond to criticism? I've told my children many times, I said, it is my job to correct you, and you have to be okay with that. I said, God has placed on me the burden to correct you when you're not doing something that's right. And maybe I need to correct you not because you're doing something that is biblically wrong, but it's not the best thing. You should do something different. How do we respond to criticism? There are a lot of people that as soon as they're criticized, they become intensely offended. I had a boss apologizing for, critiquing me, and I was like, "That's your job." I understand that. It's your job. Your job is to say, "Hey, you need to change some things to, for your performance to improve." How do we respond to criticism? Proverbs 13:1 says, "A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke." I found an interesting couple things here. Instruction is actually most often translated in the Old Testament. The Hebrew word, the underlying Hebrew word, is most often translated in the Old Testament, chastisement. It can also mean correction. So that's why I opened up with that question: how do you respond to correction? And the second clause of this verse kind of reinforces that idea of correction, because it says that the scorner does not hear rebuke. The second thing that I found interesting about this verse is that If you have your King James, you'll notice that the first word translated here is in italics. It's not there. It's not that the King James took liberty in translating the verb. There's no verb in the first clause. Hebrew does that. There are times where the King James is really good about its translation, about following a strict, proper form of translation. But there are times where it just doesn't translate as written because the language is just too different. There are things you can do in Hebrew that you can't do in English. Though the noun translated instruction is grammatically a noun, it is a verbal noun and is often used in the Old Testament as a verb. So that's why they're supplying the verb here, because, if you were to just go word for word in Hebrew, that first clause is a son, wise, instruction, father. Those are the only words present. It's just four words. Son, wise, instruction, father. That's it. But this understanding, the word is such that the understanding of, and the way it's set up is this idea is present, is what I'm trying to say. I'm stumbling here in my speaking. So the King James weren't taking liberty. They just had to supply the word so that it would make sense in English. What does it mean to hear instruction? It means you listen and you receive it. I had taught my children that I expect a response when I say something to them, whether it's just strictly instruction or correction. I expect a response. And I've told them, I said, you don't have permission to get upset and start crying and throw a tantrum. The only correct response is, yes, Daddy, and obey. Well, William's got that down pretty good. Yes, Daddy. But then I was noticing how quick he was doing it and watching him, and I said, William, what did I tell you? And he froze. And I said, son, it is not enough for you to just say yes, Daddy. You need to actually be listening and receive what I'm telling you. So now I'll make him say, I said, now what I want you to do is I want you to go, yes, Daddy, I will, and what I told you. Feed it back to me. I want to know that you received it. It says here that a wise son hears his father's instruction. I don't remember what source I got this from, but years ago, a fellow was saying, he said, receive criticism as a gift. Even if it isn't true, you've just learned something about the speaker. If nothing else, you've learned how they view you. So even if it's unjustified, you now know that they view you in that way. But if it is justified, then they've given you an opportunity to improve yourself. It is wisdom to receive correction in a spirit of humility because of those two ideas. If it's true, if you need it, if it is justified correction, they have just given you an opportunity to improve yourself. Is the doctor being cruel and unkind who tells the diabetic whose blood sugar is out of control, if you don't make some changes, you're going to die? You know what a doctor told my dad about his smoking? He looked at my dad, and my dad was at that point starting to cough up blood at times. And the doctor said, quit smoking or die. Just said it that bluntly. Quit smoking or die. And even though at that point he was in his 60s, and he had been smoking since he was a teenager, that scared him enough that he was able to quit. He went through this lengthy process of what they do is they had him reducing buying weaker cigarettes so that the number of cigarettes didn't reduce. But when he got to the point where the cigarettes had hardly any nicotine in them at all, then they started reducing the number of cigarettes. This kind of weaned him off of it over a while. Was my mother being cruel when when I had my road rash and I had gravel and dirt ground into my leg because I was just oh so bright to as a kid? It was California, it was hot summer. And so I just had a pair of shorts on and I had just learned to ride a bicycle and I decided I wanted to jump a ramp shortly after having learned to ride a bicycle. And I jump that ramp and I go flying through the air and I crash and burn and I get dirt and gravel ground into my leg. And my mother, she was in nursing, and when I went inside, she said, come here. She took me to the bathroom and she sat me down on the tub and she gathered up her supplies and I noticed that one of the things was a stiff, bristled brush. And she took a washcloth and she folded up and she goes, bite this. This is going to hurt. And she scrubbed it. She used to say, scrub it till it bleeds clean. And she scrubbed that clean. I think my mom, because I used to get into stuff, and I think my mom kept me from dying as a child. Was my mom cruel? Is the doctor cruel when he tells you your cholesterol is too high, your blood pressure is too high, you have cancer? Are they being cruel? No. We say, or we, a wise individual would say, thank you. Now I have information I can use to inform my decisions. When authority figures or anyone criticizes you, you ought not to. I know that it's the natural tendency to rise up with the, oh yeah, well you, and throw it back in their face. Maybe point out some foible on their part. But rather, we ought to receive criticism for what it is. Either it is telling you something true about yourself, or it is at least informing you about how that person views you. You know, Pastor Weigel said something once. I was frustrated because I'm not naturally given to certain things. He has said before, he said he's naturally a gentle person. I said, I am not naturally a gentle person. And you know, when I first came to Indiana, I wore black all the time, not because I was a goth or anything like that, but because I hated having to think about what I was going to wear. I had my white button-up shirt, my black slacks, my black shoes, my black socks, my black tie, and I was happy. That's what I wore every day. But people criticized some aspects of my personality that, strictly speaking, weren't right or wrong. And I went to Pastor Weigel and I was talking to him about it. And I said, I was complaining. I was like, this isn't right, because this isn't a right or wrong issue. I'm not disobeying God. And he said something that has stuck with me throughout the years. He said, you have to deal with the world as you find it. What does that mean in that situation and this situation? I started changing the way I dressed, and I started wearing more colors and such, because, like it or not, right or wrong, it was hindering my ability to minister to people. I developed a new, my old motto, my old protocol with clothes was, don't have to think about what I'm going to wear, became so that it doesn't elicit any comment at all. You know, just that it passes notice. I didn't want my clothes to interfere with my ability to minister to people. So when you receive criticism, even if it's unjustified, you have now received information about that person and how they view you. Now here's the thing, even if a person is cruel and unkind to you, you still have the duty to love them, right? That's what the Bible says, love your enemies. Do good to them. Pray for them. Well, how are you going to especially be able to serve them without understanding their situation? Well, when they unjustly criticize you, they've just given you information to use to better serve them. You now know where they're weak or where the possible problem is. I had a young lady come to me one time and said that a guy had called her ugly. And I said, we're Christians. We go by the Bible, right? Heck yeah. And I said, is there anywhere in the Bible that defines what pretty is? You know, what the standard of pretty is? She said, no, not that I know of. And I said, I've read the Bible through many, many, many times. And I have studied it for a few decades now, carefully. I said, I've never run across any biblical standard of pretty. I also haven't ran across any biblical standard of ugly. I said, so when he called you ugly, he wasn't saying anything about you at all. Because without a point of reference, it doesn't mean anything. What he did was he said something to you about himself. He said that he's the kind of person that he can't be okay with his situation unless he's hurting someone else. So that gives you the opportunity, you can pray for him. And you can say, God, please help him. He likes to hurt people. There's something going on in his life. But if you find, and I would suggest if somebody criticizes you to listen, to pay attention. Examine yourself and see if it is true. If it is true, then use it as an opportunity to improve yourself for God. All right.